humans are creatures of bias. We see it in rhetoric, and we see it in the media, and we see it in political affiliations. We will see it in art. And you will go for what you know if you don't know your biases. If you don't know how to control it, and if you don't do often your work and your homework, you will go for the lowest hanging fruit. And it's not going to be very compelling. Better get good at what you know, but better know yourself. That's just really, really important. And where you don't know what to do, prepare.
You're listening to the CG Spectrum podcast. CG Spectrum College of Digital Art and Animation offers specialized career training for the film and game sector. Join our hosts, Career Development Manager Maxine Schnepp and CGS Mentor Justin Mulman, as they chat with industry experts doing cutting-edge work in film and games. Now, on to the show.
So this week I talked to Ovidio and Eric. So Eric is one of our CG Spectrum illustration mentors. He recently released a book called I Color Myself Different that was written by Colin Kaepernick. But he introduced me to Ovidio. He is an artist and art director at Wizards of the Coast. They're well known for Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons. If you're curious to know about what makes a great card illustration or how to become a card illustrator, I talked to both Eric and Ovidio about their perspective and some of their fine art skills and how that's helped them over the years. So what comes first then? Is it the card design and then someone like Eric would do the illustration after? Or does the illustration come first and then the design?
The card design comes first because it's a game first and foremost, right? Like in that case, you're doing reductively, you would say you're doing a game piece, right? Mm-hmm. That's in the end what you're creating, a game piece. And so there's world building elements, but there are also mechanical elements, right? Like if the card is a knight, you're not going to show a dog, right?
Right.
You're going to show a knight. And if the card is really powerful, you're not going to show a knight with a rapier. You're going to show a knight with a gigantic axe, right? And if for some reason the knight, when it lands on the battlefield, it destroys every creature, you're not going to show the knight carrying flowers. You're going to show the knight striking the ground or something like that. That's how the brief comes about. It's not as prescriptive as it sounds, I would say. Normally, illustrators have a lot of freedom and they get to bring their own flavor to the piece. So you pick someone who's going to like this job, right? Like you pick someone who's going to like... Someone's going to be excited about the particular thing that has to be done here, right? Like if you don't like painting birds, I'm not going to give you a bird.
I'm assuming that you do like painting birds because I did see one of your more recent pieces.
I absolutely love painting birds.
So there you go. That's a fitting example. So tell me a little bit about how the two of you got connected.
So just to clarify for people that don't know out there, Hasbro Toys, the company that does G.I. Joe, Transformers, all that stuff, they have a card game or role play game division called Wizards of the Coast, and they publish a game called Magic the Gathering. It's got something like 30 plus million players worldwide across different countries, going all the way back to the early 90s. And it is one of the major companies I always wanted to work with. There are very few companies that hire illustrators and will allow them to or give them the time to do an oil painting. So for me, being classically trained as an oil painter and wanting to get out there and do sci-fi fantasy illustration, it was kind of like, okay, well, where do you go with that skill set?
Yep.
Magic is one of those games where you just say, okay, well, That's where you want to be. Like, and I pursued that really hard early when I got out of school. This is going back like 20 years ago. But my skills weren't there. My portfolio wasn't there. Most of my portfolio was hard sci-fi. And I didn't understand why art directors couldn't make the leap in their head that I could do what they were asking me to do. if you're showing that you only do robots and the company that you're showing that portfolio portfolio hires people that paint dragons or fantasy stuff, like, are they going to take that risk, or are they just going to hire the person that has dragons in their portfolio? Right. So, and I didn't understand that. I had that disconnect in my portfolio for years before, adding more fantasy into my portfolio to show, to prove that I could do that work. It wasn't that I couldn't. There wasn't as much of an interest, because from my perspective, when it came to fantasy art, there was a huge lack of diversity in the representation of the characters. So I kind of looked at that and said, okay, well, that's probably a white only kind of thing. That's who they're aiming that at. So I guess I should find work elsewhere, because if I put together a portfolio, it's not going to feel genuine. And then I started seeing Magic and other publishers really start to expand, and diversify the imagery in the games and the stuff that they published. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is awesome. It refueled that interest in wanting to work with them. And I think it was 2019, I was invited to do my first card for Magic. One of the art directors, his name is Zach Stella. I met Zach when he was just an illustrator working for on Magic cards in 2015 at New York Comic Con. And we were all in the same aisle of an artist alley. And I was just blown away by his work. I could have sworn I was looking at oil paintings, like his prints of his Magic cards. I thought I was looking at oil paintings, and they were all digital. I was just like, I don't even understand how, I don't even understand how you did that, but it's incredible stuff. But he made that leap over to being one of the art directors, and he knew I had a little girl, and the brief for the job needed a painting of a little girl, and he brought me in, and I, you know, you get that, it's kind of like that golden ticket. That's kind of in my head, the kind of, you got that golden ticket, here you go, don't mess it up.
Well, it's that personal connection too, I think, like that really helped, because exactly. Like you said before, and I wanted to touch on this, I talked to a lot of students about this, like, but I can do anything. It's like you said, it's like, I can draw a dragon if you want me to, I just don't feel like it. And that's totally fine for an artist to have that feeling, and it's like you gotta draw what you want. But anytime that you make a client, a potential client, or a studio, someone who's an art director, or like a recruiter even, you make them do like an extra step, any kind of extra work, whether it's like clicking on a separate link because not everything's on the front page, or making them imagine you draw a dragon when you don't have one. That's an extra step that most people aren't willing to take, because they have 20 other people that can draw dragons. So why would they take an extra step for you? Sounds like this golden ticket, there was that extra personal connection where it's like, oh, we're in that same like artist's alley. We knew each other. He knew that you could take it to the next level.
What I really like with Magic is that they are in the artwork letting the world know that everybody is represented in that universe, in that, you know, in all these different planes. And that's really cool to see. So you could hold a card, you could play the game and be like, I can identify with that character. Yeah. Or, you know, I could cosplay that.
To go to one of the
that's
events.
A big deal.
A video. Tell me more about your process when you are selecting an artist. Like, do you give people chances? Like, how many portfolios do you look at in a day, in a week? Like, do you have time to like give people chances?
Hundreds of people. The process, well, just like with any I think any job, you prefer a person who's familiar with the field, right? Like if I were to apply to a job as an art director for a digital game, not a card game, not a printed card game, I would have to prove that I can do digital, right? Like you just, because otherwise maybe it's not a medium that I'm gonna take too easily, or easily enough, your head's just not in it. If you've done 10,000 robots and you have not a single knight, and I ask you for a knight, yes, you can draw a knight, but there's two things that are gonna happen. You are probably gonna have robotic aspects to the knight, or just straight up copy a very unoriginal knight because you haven't thought about it very much. So it's not a matter of talent or ability or potential. It's a matter of practice, familiarity, and flexibility with the subject matter, right? Like if you've never drawn an apple and you don't see many apples because where you live there are no apples, you're probably gonna pull off that apple. But if I give an artist who used to be a farmer or a botanist an apple, they're just gonna kill it. I'm gonna pick the botanist for sure, a million times. That's not to say that people are not given a chance. Like you can extrapolate someone who has very good portraits, very good fantasy portraits, or very good portraits in general, which is Eric has this ability. Eric has mastered faces. I don't have to explain a likeness to Eric. Eric just gets it. Of course, in every project, you want the right person for the job. And there's avenues to experiment and sometimes miss the chance, like just fail and not do a job very well. Those opportunities exist everywhere. And I've taken a chance with people because I believe in their talent and I believe in them, right? Because you're not hiring just ability. You're hiring a person with a life, with obsessions, with interests, with aspirations. It's really hard to take all of that into account, but I try to.
There's like a level of trust, I guess, you have to establish. And, like you said, even with Eric, it's like once you know that they're good at executing a certain thing, it's like, oh, then now I can trust him to try a different type of character or,
And there's different personalities. Everyone has their way of dealing with things. Everyone has their way of taking feedback or of addressing it. Everyone has their way of approaching a subject, and as well as myself, I'm in different moods, right? Like we're just
We're
people.
human. We're human. Yeah, at the end of the day.
So
We want to take all this money that we earn and like go have a life after,
go have
right?
fun.
That's the goal.
So I try to take those things into account when I work with people. There's some artists who are just ridiculously talented and they're good at anything you're gonna give them. Like there's a lot of people like that. And even then, you'll take into account what the person wants to do. Like there's people who say, "Listen, I'm done doing zombies. I don't want to do a zombie again in my life. I know I'm a genius at zombies." There's people who are geniuses at that particularly subject, but they don't want to do it anymore because they are interested in something else now. Maybe they're doing a kid's book and they want to do something more friendly, or maybe they want to learn a different subject matter, right? Like maybe they want to learn how to do knights this time around, or how to do castles, or how to do dragons, or how to do animals, or so on. And if you see that they've taken an interest in that in other work, or if you see that they show you some sketches, right? Like I've been sketching dragons and I'd really like the chance to take one. I'm like, sure, go ahead. Like it seems like you're clearly on the path to do it, or just the creature or whatever. It's not that, I would say it's not that specific and that cut and dry. you'll try to give people a chance depending on their attitude towards the subject and the work.
And people evolve, you know, we're allowed to evolve, I think. But it's much easier to evolve into a different style or subject matter if you've established that trust already. It almost reminds me, I thought of a question as you were speaking, and maybe Eric, you can speak to this. Do you feel like you've ever been typecast? So you know how actors get typecast into like a very specific role? It kind of, what you said of video reminded me of that, where someone is just really good at zombies or something, and then you struggle to break through that because people keep calling you for zombies. And you're like, no, I have a kid now. I want to do kids' books. I don't want to do this scary stuff. I want to do something that I can share with my children. Has that ever happened to you, Eric?
No. And
and that's a good artist.
Well, all right. So here's the thing. So I never wanted to be the robot guy or the dragon person or the person that is just or like brags about I paint hands really well or something like that. I always, from the minute I got out of school, always thought it would make more sense to be able to have a diverse portfolio. And I'm not just talking about what the characters look like. I'm talking about being able to leap styles. You want photorealism? You want sci-fi fantasy? Cool. You want stylized characters for visual development for animation or for a children's book? Cool. I could do that too. You want storyboards? Cool. I could do that too. Whoever's paying, basically, like tailor the portfolio to the client. And since I talk to a lot of concept art students, having them understand that you might be asked to change your style depending on whatever game they're publishing makes you more of an asset. So I came out of school not thinking, okay, I just want to do Tolkien fan art until somebody gives me a shot. Or I only want to do this. I only want to do that. No, it was, let me show people that I can do all of it. Not everything, because you don't want to confuse people, especially you don't want an art director going, he's showing me everything. I have no idea which one of these things he likes to do more. So if somebody were to go to my website, they would see the strong emphasis on sci-fi fantasy art. I'm not posting my storyboard portfolio. I'm not posting the stylization of character design. I'm not posting any of my concept art. But if somebody were, if I saw an ad for something and I knew I could do the job, I would send them a PDF and say, okay, well, here's what I'm capable of, right? So there's a focus to my portfolio. There's a focus to my website, but I like to be able to do more than one thing. I was working on children's book samples, a children's book portfolio back in college. Nothing really happened with it because I didn't have a literary agent to show a publisher and say, well, here's what Eric's capable of. There is no art drop or submissions email for children's books where you can just go, yeah, I can do a children's book. Here, let me show you my stuff. Because then the world would be flooding that thing, right? Mm. You have to be vetted by a literary agent that would then pass you along and say, this person's good. Here's what we're suggesting you go with for your new book. And they say, oh my God, you're right. You know? Here's how much it pays. Ask him how if he wants to do it. And you go, oh my God, right?
Hey everyone, quick shout out to CG Spectrum for helping make this podcast happen.
CG Spectrum is an online animation, VFX, digital painting, and game development school that prepares you for a career in film and games. Whether you're just starting out or you're upgrading your skills, get personalized career training and mentorship from industry pros who have worked on blockbuster films and best-selling games. Courses are 100% online, and you can choose from one-on-one private mentorship options or group classes with just 4 students max. You'll also get access to career support services and join an awesome community full of like-minded creatives just like you. Learn more at cgspectrum.com. We're bringing the industry to you. I like this idea of you have your main portfolio. That's what's like attracting you work. It's almost like casting a fishing net and you're just sitting there in your chair smoking a pipe or whatever, having a beer, and like stuff just kind of falls into it because that's what that's like your ideal work is what's public. But then you do have like this bait box. You're like, I could open that and catch the fish I want if I know that I'm going to this lake and they have perch or this, you know, and you're like, okay, I can take this out and show you something else if I want that job or if I need income right now or if I'm in between the jobs that I really like, then I can do some storyboarding. Here you go. Right. Like, so would you, I guess that's an important distinction for, you know, maybe some students or aspiring artists who might be watching this is like how to present your work. Because I think that is a problem that I see with a lot of portfolios is people trying to do too much on one page. And then you go there and you're like, well, the skill is good. I can see some nice things in there, but it's hard for me to figure out like, well, what is Eric actually good at? Or like, what am I going to get from him? If I ask him to draw a dog, am I going to get this stylized dog? Am I going to get a realistic? Like, what am I going to get? It's hard for people to visualize.
And that's why I was saying you got to have a focus. You got to have that one thing. If somebody, and I asked I put this question to my students because it's something that I heard a Taoist philosopher, Alan Watts, say in a speech. He asked, what would you do with your life if money were no object? What would you do with your time? What would you create? You know, what would you do? And my answer was always, I would just do hard sci-fi. I would just sit in my studio and just paint like these hard sci-fi paintings with, you know, but you got to have a focus. But outside of that focus, you still got to eat. And if nobody's hiring you for your focus at some point in life, or even if you get older, your vision starts to go, you can't hyper render things anymore. You still do some storyboards. You still knock out a children's book.
Mm-hmm. And you still have all those other soft skills of like getting stuff done on time, communication with clients, like all the other stuff that people don't talk about when it, like, aside from all the rendering and illustrating, it's like, oh, there's still all these little things that you have to be good at. Because if you can't communicate with people, like, a video is not going to call you back. If like, you're like, man, Eric never answered my emails and I couldn't call him and he's never available. And so his work is great, but I can't work with him. Like, has that ever happened to you, a video where there's like a great artist, but you're like, and you don't name them, please don't name them. But have you ever worked with someone who is like a good artist, but you can't work with them anymore because they can't actually do the work part?
There's different situations, right? Everyone has some people have hardship and they might not, they're not able to do their best at that particular moment. Mm. Like I'm working with people who are in Ukraine right now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And we have some students in Ukraine too. Yeah.
And they're doing awesome work still. You know what I mean? Like they're still performing quite well. What I was going to say about focus is you really have to figure out who you are, right? Because some people, they were born to do trees or something. And if that's all you want to do in your life, maybe you'll work at UPS and paint trees on the side, you know, but you'll be happy. Like, that's fine. It's completely fine. I'm not like, oh, I don't think the epitome of the world is making a ton of money and so on. It's being content and loving yourself and loving what you do and loving your family or whoever you are with. Those are like very important things to me. And so my advice to people is make sure you believe in what you're doing. Like, maybe what you want to do is travel around the world and you just have odd jobs all your life. Cool. Some people are like, I have an inheritance and I'll spend 10 years mastering how to paint a dragon. Sadly, there's no formula because everyone's in a different position in life. I will tell you the best formula is to be reliable and effective. Because you're still going to work with others. You're still going to have to perform. You still have to present your work. You still have to show things. If you do things on time, relatively, if you do things on time and you do things well, you're probably not going to run out of work, because it means people can call you, you can pull it off, you can, and you can do it. You know, outside of those two things, maybe you're going to blow everyone away with your amazing drawing of a zombie. Maybe it's going to be a nice zombie. Maybe you have a little bit of a temper, but in the end, you come through. Maybe you are a pushover and you do whatever they ask you, and you end up doing just like a mishmash, but it ends up working. Like, everyone is different. And my job is to figure out what this person is happiest with. It's a lot of factors. And Dawn Murin, you've worked with Dawn, right, Eric?
Yeah.
She taught me. She told me, you can't go to school to be an art director. There's just too many factors, right? And too many soft skills, as you said. Like, you have to be socially intelligent, I would say. You have to be very considerate and compassionate at times. But you also have to be very observant.
Right. Do you find that your personal approach and like your history in fine art and oil painting, does that kind of help you find illustrators for even for this digital medium? Do you find that there's some kind of personal approach that makes you a little bit different from someone else, or you know, do you see things differently because of that classical background when you're picking an artist?
I painted human figures for a long time. I stared at human figures for hours every day for years. So stuff like some weird anatomy quirk is going to jump out, right? It doesn't mean that I'm flawless, because I'm a regular human. But I'll pay a lot of attention to stuff like that. I'll pay a lot of attention to people's palettes. And I'll give some advice like, hey, you know what? You might want to work on the highlights here. They're just white, for example. Like, a lot of people just like to use white rim light. That's a nice solution, but this person's not in a studio. This person's in a cave, right, with a torch. Where's the rim light coming from?
I wanted to also just ask Eric a question. I wanted to ask you kind of about how you tackle a brief once you've been selected for a project. Do you find that your fine art background has also helped you like contextualize how you approach projects, even though it's not the same medium?
When I get a brief, I'm highlighting things, keywords, and I really love the briefs I get from a video, because he'll write in there, maybe this is happening, or maybe that's happening, or maybe we see this, or, you know, there's all these little breadcrumbs of a potential composition, or it takes my mind in a different direction, so that I'm not just giving him exactly what the words, you know, on the page are. It's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of that. Maybe there's this, maybe there's that. Right? And I'm highlighting what's the mood of the piece. Because if you tell me that there's a character holding a lit torch, leading somebody through an alleyway or something like that, automatically it's a nighttime shot. You don't have a lit torch in the middle of the day, right? Establishes the mood. Got it. Right? You look at the world guide for this, and you see what the mood, what the palette is. So you start taking these notes. So you have, instantly I'm thinking, what's the color scheme? What's the mood? What's the lighting going to be like? Then you say, okay, well, then there's a description of who the character, who the focus is, who the lead character is. And I talk to my students about this, like choosing a camera angle based off of how it's described, how the character is described. Is this character a hero? Is there some strength? Are they using the word strength, power, confidence, or something like that, some key word to describe the focus? Then we drop the camera angle. So now we're looking up the hero shot, right?
Yeah.
And it's all coming from the keywords. You start highlighting these things and then you can go to work. And for me, that makes a lot more sense than just me scribbling around until I guess these sketches work. I don't know. I'll just send them and find out. By the time I send a video anything, I have worked out the entire process. So from the minute he says approved, I'm already half done. I know what the piece is going to look like. At its most basic stage, the composition is set, the values are set, the color scheme is set. All I have to do is make the piece better than the sketch, right? And I tell my students there should be no guesswork. When you're at a level where somebody like Wizards of the Coast, Riot Games, whatever the company is, they hire you to do an illustration, there should be no guesswork right in the middle of the job where you go, no, actually, the dragon shouldn't be over here. Or, no, actually, I should need to erase this and flip this and warp that. That's a disaster waiting to happen because it lets you know and it lets the client potentially know that you have no idea what you're doing. You just kind of, you're just stumbling along as you go until you go, wow, this worked out.
Which I think a lot of people can get, can kind of fall into that problem, especially if, you know, you have the artistic skill, but you don't have the planning elements. Before you even said the word character at all, you talked about color palette, mood, lighting, camera angle even came before actually sketching the character itself.
Yeah.
Is that something, a video that you notice in people's work, you know, when you're looking to find an artist, you know, and you're choosing an artist, is that something that you look for? Is that like overall creative vision?
I care a lot about the result and that it's on time. More than I care about the process, because different people figure out different things at different stages.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen sketches where the figure is poorly done, but I know the artist is good for it. You know, it's like getting an IOU.
I love that.
Yeah, like I know they're good for it. I know they'll do it, but they do it when they're rendering. Or maybe they haven't shot reference and they'll shoot reference at some point. I will say it's very important to have a clear vision. And it's very important to do a lot of art. Just do it a lot. Even if you don't have a client, don't do something else. Just do art. Like, you're bored, start sketching. The more you do it, the easier the solutions will come to you. Humans are creatures of bias. We see it in rhetoric, and we see it in the media, and we see it in political affiliations. Mm. We will see it in art. And you will go for what you know. If you don't know your biases, if you don't know how to control it, and if you don't do often your work and your homework, you will go for the lowest hanging fruit. And it's not going to be very compelling. Better get good at what you know, but better know yourself. That's just really, really important. And where you don't know what to do, prepare. A preparation is just really important.
Mm-hmm.
Take photo references, sketch the same thing from several angles, do the same thing a million times. Like, when an instructor tells you to do 500 hands and you hate them for it, they're doing you a favor, right? It's a favor, really. You're not going to struggle with hands again in your life. When you show that you care about the visual image, when you show that you love art, that you're passionate, you don't need to be passionate about my brand. But if you're passionate about art and the craft, I'll call you back. I'll call you on the phone to talk about other stuff. I'll call Eric on the phone, right? To talk about other stuff. Stuff that we care about a lot, like representation. We both really into it, right? We really love representation. We think it's about time, right? And we'll just have social conversations. We'll learn from each other. That's really important.
Well, it's the human connection at the end of the day.
When you're looking at visuals, having a kid be able to walk through a store and stop cold and go, oh my gosh, that looks like me, is huge, huge. And it makes me get a little emotional because I did a book series for Disney a couple years ago called Tristan Strong. It's a Tristan Strong series for Disney. And I was getting photos from people in Africa holding the book. You don't think like a middle grade sci-fi novel is going to have that kind of impact, cultural impact, but there's little kids with afros like posing as Tristan. You know, it meant something to them. It was huge for them. It's going to encourage them to read, to aspire to do great things in life. But if they don't see themselves in that art form, they go do something else. Maybe something that might be detrimental to their health or whatever, right? But there's something focused that made them want to say, I'm going to sit and read this. I might even try to pick up a pencil and draw something, right? But that's where we talk about representation matters. If you go your entire life not seeing yourself represented in an art form, and then when it's time to choose a career in life, you go with something you're not really interested in, because the thing that you actually are interested in, you don't think they're going to hire you. Why would they? They've never in the past. It's just putting the content out there, finding the right people for the job, but also looking outside of where you would normally find people. Like maybe there
that's where that bias comes in.
There is that bias. Yeah. Maybe there.
That a video was saying it's like if I happen to like all of these artists that happen to be white, and I'm not surrounding myself with other forms of art,
right,
I might not even realize. I just think I'm a zombies guy, right, you know, or I just think I like this, and it just happens to be a subsect that, you know, you don't realize.
It's also a thing of, I will clarify that, well, fantasy, a lot of fantasy is descended from European myth. And it's also a game of economics and locality. There's not going to be a ton of Guatemalans right now where I work, because not a ton of Guatemalans live here, right? And in the tradition of illustration, and I remember buying this like large Taschen book about illustration and whatever, I'm like, yes, these people are the ones who could afford to go to art school.
Or were allowed to enter the building.
Yes, indeed. Who could afford to go to art school were allowed to enter the building. And once they did all this process, they could publish their image in several venues across the world, sometimes with government funding. And so it's hard for me to blame the individual exclusively, because there is a whole structure.
Yeah.
I would say, of course, the structure is not what it was.
No, it's getting better, but it takes generations, right?
And in the case of Magic the Gathering, I think we're doing a lot to bring representation and diversity. I think we're doing a lot of world building. We were very positive of being inspired by the whole world. The world is brown, my friend, right? That's how it looks. That's one of the things that I liked. Cornel West said this about The Matrix, that he liked The Matrix because most people were brown, right? And that's how the world looks. And I've been very positive about bringing in different voices, different minds, right? Many stories get repeated, not because they're better, but just because the people who have power repeat them. I always say, how many takes are we going to get on Arthurian legend? You know, like we're going to get a ton more, or Shakespeare, or I don't know, the Brothers Grimm, and so on. how much stuff are we going to get based on the Popol Vuh or the stories of the Hopi. We don't know. That's why people bring diversity to these things. Like you do, you see something like Arthurian legend and you want to bring diversity to that because it's what they're going to give you money for. You know, it's just what happens. The fight is a generational fight. We have to understand that we are in many ways breaking ground for people who aren't born or aren't in the field yet. People that we won't know. That's just how society works. You're working for a stranger most of the time. So what we want to do is, or what I want to do, is give everyone an equal chance. Let people show their talent. Give people a chance to fail even. You know, yeah. there's a lot of people who have the privilege of failing just because they look right or they sound right. And they know the right people and they get a chance to fail over and over.
Or they have the financial safety net.
Or they have the financial safety net or failing, yes.
Yeah.
That's I'll take the world as it is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that those people aren't doing any good work. There's good work out there. There's a lot of talent in the world. But give other people who haven't gotten a chance, give them a chance. One thing that happened to me when I came here, because I had a bit of privilege where I came from, where I came here is I was like, I would say something and people wouldn't listen or wouldn't believe me. And I was like, am I going crazy? No, it's just that looking the way I look and sounding the way I sound.
Yeah.
I just don't have the same credibility. That opened my eyes and my mind a lot. And that's why I care a lot about representation and seeing different people. And I think in magic, it's a beautiful thing that you see, you can open a pack and you see a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
And not just on the box, but on the names. A lot of people from all over the world do art for Magic the Gathering, which is awesome. And we're bringing in more and more every single time, people like Eric, people like myself. You know, I was given a chance to be an art director, and I get to bring my take, my experience to the game.
Yeah, that, I think that's so important, and something that you know, hopefully keeps getting better. I know this is just a little podcast, but seeing people like you on here speaking about it and where you came from, I know that at least one person will be inspired by this, and that's all that matters for me. If you can inspire one person so they have that light bulb moment that Eric did, that like, we've done our jobs, you know. So I'm gonna wrap this up though. I know you have to go, Eric. Eric, where can we find your podcast? Where can we find you?
Okay, so the podcast is called Painted in Color. I am one of the co-hosts along with Lauren Brown and Mia Araujo. Lauren is an illustrator in the gaming industry, and Mia is an illustrator and author working with Scholastic and a bunch of other companies. But yeah, we do our podcast on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. Anybody can find me online, ericwilkersonart.com. That's also my social handles is Eric Wilkerson Art on Instagram.
And you can also, if anyone watching is interested in learning from Eric, you can also have Eric as your mentor for a concept art and illustration course. Every student I talk to who has you as their mentor loves you. And I love working with you too.
One of my students just messaged me while we were doing this podcast to let me know that he was commissioned by Upper Deck to do some illustrations for a new Marvel card game. So he's super pumped. And he's been ready. I put that polish on him. So he's now industry ready to do the thing that he's been wanting to do. And I'm super happy for him. I told him, that's your golden ticket. Don't mess up.
Where can we find you?
I'm a fine artist. I'm just a painter. I have a website, and it's just my name, .com. Yep. not like a super big on social media, really.
That's okay.
I've successfully done what you were mentioning you wanted to do.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much, Ovidio, for joining us today. I loved learning about this. It's not something I was very familiar with, so I always love talking to people who can teach me something. I'm very excited to see the new packs that you have coming out in the future. And yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing a brighter future for people who don't feel like they're represented in this craft, and just continuing to see that evolve, I think will be special, and it's going to elevate the art at the end of the day. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for listening to the CG Spectrum podcast. For more on this episode, visit us at cgspectrum.com/podcast. Check out our show notes, where you'll find links to our guests and more behind the scenes. And if you're enjoying the show, please like, rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening, or share this episode with someone who might like it. See you next time.